you could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us, and we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Tim, like Tim Duncan. S as in Sam, like Sam Cassell. M as in Micah, like Micah Parsons. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can the folks find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, that's underscore Kennedy, as in the former president, John F. Miller, as in the NBA Hall of Famer, Reggie Miller, underscore Kennedy Miller, underscore.
All right, all right. And my man.
Yes, sir.
Where can the folks find you on Twitter? Well, first of all, Aaron, are you back on Twitter? You know, you were, you know, there, then you was gone, you were suspended.
I think Twitter's on the back burner for a while. We're going to go with Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Aaron the Great, two underscores. That is Aaron the Great, two underscores.
All right, all right. So this is our Cowboys. It's supposed to be our Cowboys-centric show. I like to call this the Dope House. We open up the Dope House to all the fiends. We let them come in, give them some clean needles. They have a good time. The first time we opened up the Dope House, the dope wasn't hidden for nothing. They didn't even sell y'all nothing good. They just sold y'all some that was stepped on. But surprise, surprise, 5 weeks later, the Cowboys then gave y'all that get right. Cowboys 5-2, second in the division, looking like one of the only halfway competent teams so far. So fellas, now that you've got yourself some good dope, got that size 36 belt wrapped around your elbow again, you're feeling good, high as a Georgia Pine. Ken, Aaron, how y'all feeling?
I've been very impressed with our defense. Obviously, that has been a calling card to what has made us so good throughout these first seven games. We've allowed the fewest touchdowns in the league. And obviously, you know, our quarterback went down and we went on the show after him. Aaron and I basically had all but just almost given up hope for the season.
You didn't almost give up. You gave up hope. It was over.
Yeah, I really did. And so Cooper Rush held it down for the time that he was in. And, you know, he basically did everything that you asked him to do. We never really put him in a situation where he was down, you know, like multiple scores and had to, like, come back. He had some impressive games. I don't want to take that away. But I think the defense, especially that defensive line, like Micah Parsons is making an argument for an MVP. Like, in my opinion, just due to the fact that you see guys like DeMarcus Lawrence, who we hadn't seen as a real impact player since his contract year and the year before that, really starting to make a name for himself again because of the presence of Micah Parsons. Guys like Odighizuwa, Sam Williams, that whole defensive line is getting off because that one guy that is usually 100 pounds smaller than his matchup is making such an impact. I think he made the play of the game against the Lions this past weekend when the guy caught the screen pass that was right behind him, and he recognized it, was a little bit late, recognized it, and made a tackle at the one-yard line, and then a fumble was forced at the goal line. That changed the entire complexity of that game. Obviously, there's still questions about quarterback. First game back in 5 or 6 weeks, he didn't look great. Didn't play too bad. I really didn't expect to see 19 to 25. I thought it was worse than what it was actually watching the game. And then I think, you know, maybe if we can try and get another receiver, I think we'll really be a true contender. Like when I think we're a contender, but I look at other teams because I see problems with them. Like obviously Tampa Bay is not what they were. San Francisco is okay. I still think they would give us problems. I like the Christian McCaffrey pick up the Rams. They don't look the same without Odell. Green Bay is not the same. So it's really just a bunch of teams like and then Philadelphia. And Philadelphia is the only undefeated team. But I think that if our quarterback had played, I think we could have beat them in Philly. And I think that we'll beat them in Dallas. And so that's my takeaway from it. I think if we, like I said, if we can add another, you know, second or third tier guy at the receiving position, I think it'll make us really good. I think we'll be a team to beat in the NFC. I think divisional NFC championship round.
I think to me, the biggest thing that the Cowboys did in the past couple weeks, and it's shocking, it seemed like they looked well coached, which is not something you can always say about these Mike McCarthy led teams. Because the biggest downfall has not been the level of talent. The biggest downfall has always been, damn, why do they seem poorly coached and wildly undisciplined in the moments they need to be well coached and disciplined? It's almost like Dak Prescott gets hurt and they thought, man, we actually going to have to coach. And I say that because on offense, I don't know how the offense looks better with a decidedly lesser option at quarterback. And the reason I say that is because when they went out there in week one and decided to throw the ball 70% of their offensive snaps, that ain't going to work. Dak Prescott is not Patrick Mahomes. So it's like all of a sudden they realize, all right, we're going to have to play with training wheels, scheme a few things open, right? Figure out a couple of different ways to get CeeDee Lamb the ball and go from there. Run the ball, not have the quarterback do too much. What do I always say, Kennedy Miller? 10-2, don't crash the car. Basically that. And the defense and Parsons is good enough to carry you through. Now my question becomes, as Dak Prescott comes back, most times when I see teams like this, and the formula is, we're going to lean on the defense, we're going to ask the offense not to mess this thing up. At a certain point, when you need your quarterback to make plays, right? And teams do this when they're terrified of their quarterback, right? So you think about this, like the only way I can really think about the way they played with Dak last week, and that might have just been a one-week thing, and they might try to start to turn it loose a little bit more. They played him the way the Browns handled Baker Mayfield that first year Kevin Stefanski was in Cleveland. They were like, all right, we've got two good running backs, a good offensive line, two good receivers, and a great defense. We're going to ask him to do very little. We're going to run the ball, play action off of that. Effectively, he gave you more when you asked him to do less, if that makes any sense, right? If that's your formula, that'll probably get you to the second round, right? Now, farther than that, who knows? And the reason I say who knows right now is because around the league, if we really think about it, how many teams do we definitively think are really good, right? We know the Bills are good. We know the Chiefs are good. The Eagles look really good. And then the Cowboys held it down without Dak Prescott. So we got kind of put them in that category, but the Cowboys should always be in that category because they always have really good players. You know what I'm saying? And then the rest of the league, we got a whole bunch of, I don't know. We got a whole bunch of we'll see in 4 or 5 weeks. You know what I'm saying? So I think, to be honest with you, this might be the best coaching job I've seen Mike McCarthy do since he took this damn job. Honestly, the best job, the best 5 or 6 weeks of coaching he's done since he got here. Legitimately. Now, my question is he going to keep it up? And my biggest issue with him is when it comes down to it, I just can't trust that guy. After seeing the way it ended last year, you ain't never going to be able to get that quarterback draw with 18 seconds left out of my head. After seeing that and some of his other issues with clock management, I'm like, yo, man, I don't know how I'm supposed to trust him. Like, look at him the same way again. And the fact that he didn't know that, you know, the official had to actually spot the ball. They teach that in Little League now. I thought we all knew this. But yes, I don't mean to rant on you guys' parade and come into the dope house and talk to you guys about giving your life over to God and getting off the streets. I hope I'm making some sense here. Ayo, what you think, man?
Honestly, points were made. Let me start off by saying that points were made. However, I vehemently disagree with the you get as far as the second round notion with what we are doing now. See, the irony of this whole entire situation is that when Dak got hurt, everybody assumed Cowboys were done, right? We looked bad for 3 quarters. We have our backup now. We didn't look too much better to close out the game. So everybody kind of wrote us off. Okay, cool, fine, understandable. Cooper Rush comes in and manages the game at an expert level. And it's not really hard to do so when our defense is playing the way that it's been playing. Now, here's why I say this is like one of the best things that could have happened to the Cowboys. We started asking Dak to be Patrick Mahomes. We started asking Dak to be Josh Allen, to be Brady. All of these guys kind of combined in one and have the cerebral gameplay of Brady mixed in with all these guys. We were asking Dak to basically, essentially put the Cowboys offense on his back. Even with Amari Cooper, who was, you know, getting open here and there when he decided to check into games, we were asking a lot of Dak. Now, we've basically proven that we don't need you to go out there and try to beat Brett Favre and throw Brett Favre-like interceptions. We need you to be smart, manage the game. There is not a problem with that. I'll name you another guy who managed the game for his entire career, and he got 3 Super Bowls out of it. Troy Aikman. They didn't ask Troy to ever put the Cowboys on his back. But one thing he didn't do was give the game away. If our defense is going to keep doing what it's doing, the only way we lose is if the offense gives the game away. Okay. I mean, we have, if not an MVP, we have a defensive MVP for sure in Micah Parsons. And yes, he's clearing up the lanes for guys like Odighizuwa and DeMarcus Lawrence, Sam Williams, Dante Fowler. The list goes on. But the entire defense is playing at an elite level on all 3 aspects of the defense. So when it comes to the offense, I'm not impressed with what I saw with Dak's comeback, but I expected very little. I'll tell you what I am impressed with. From quarter 1 to quarter 3, he was a much different quarterback. From quarter 3 to quarter 4, he was a much different quarterback. If we're going to see those increment levels of improvement throughout the season with the way that the defense is playing and Zeke having a blast from the past type of season, that's literally the recipe for a Super Bowl. And I know, every year with the same thing when it comes to the Super Bowl talk. But this year, it literally is making sense. The ingredients are in the pot, and it's stirring, and it's starting to boil. And listen, it smells good. It smells really good.
Oh, it's hitting. So, oh, the heroin is hitting. The heroin is hitting. So boy.
So listen, all I'm saying is Ken made a great point, and you did too. There are very few teams this year. I mean, who would have thought coming into the season that Brady and Rodgers would be ranked where they're ranked in QBR, in yards, in touchdowns? I mean, this is kind of crazy what we're seeing right now. There's only, 2 teams in the NFC that really concern me. And one of them, like Ken said, if we had that, they really wouldn't concern me, which is the Eagles. I'm not scared of the Eagles in the least bit. I'm really not. They ran a lot of gadget plays towards Micah Parsons. But what the thing is, you run a lot of these gadget plays, that kind of opens up the rest of the defense. So now they're going to be expecting that. Okay, you're going to run away from Micah. We're going to load up on the other side. We're going to basically beat you at the game that you're trying to beat us at. You want to play checkers, we're going to play chess. We're going to do this to y'all because we have Micah. So at any point in time, the game can be blown up. Even if you run the right play, even if you block everybody perfectly, that one play can still get blown up and blow up the entire game because of Micah. Ken, you didn't really do too much justice. And I'm almost done, I promise. You didn't really do too much justice with the play of the game from Micah Parsons, because not only did he recognize it late and catch him at the 1 yard line, he beat every defensive back that had at least a 7 yard head start, full sprint chasing after this man. He hawked them all down, and then he hawked down Hockenson. So not only does he make the game saving tackle, in my opinion, he did so. And if you watch that play, he literally explodes on the screen past everybody and catches this man and then basically saves the game for us. Plays like that, it's not always the sack, fumble, strip, sack, fumble, fumble 6 into the end zone. Sometimes it's running faster than everybody on the field and catching the guy with the ball at the 1 yard line. Sometimes it's all you need.
Now, I'm going to say this, man. Now, the reason I said I think, the reason I end up like kind of being bullish about some of this is because last year, like, it's a long season, right? And where we are 7 games, it might not be where we are 7 weeks from now, right? Like last year, the Chiefs were 3-4 or something like that, right? And they ended up winning 10 of their last however many, ended up, in the conference title game, right? So sometimes teams start off hot and then kind of fizzle down the stretch after teams start making adjustments after 7 to 8 weeks. I think that's going to happen with one team in the NFC East, the Giants. But, for me, it's going to see like what happens to some of these teams, right? And I think the big reason I'm like not as bullish on the Cowboys is the coaching, is because I've noticed this thing, right? Under Mike McCarthy and even my man Jason Garrett, in games you have the decided talent advantage, those are games you're going to win. right, and win going away. In games where you don't have the decided talent advantage and the margins are a bit slimmer, coaching comes into play. Coaching, good decision-making, being disciplined, all those things come into play. And when the Cowboys play really good teams over the years, that's when the problems start, right? Yep. So I'm like, look, man, you had, and it's never an issue of do you had a talent. Because Kennedy Miller, Ken, is this like the fifth year in a row I picked the Cowboys to win this division?
I think so.
It's like the fifth, yeah, I'm like, yo, it ain't never a question of can you do it. It's will you do it in the biggest moments of the season, right? Like it's October right now. I'm like, all right, man, in 5-6 weeks, we gonna see what it is and what it ain't. But I'm going to tell you who ain't good. I'm going to tell you who ain't got nothing smoking. I'm going to tell you who's serving up. They ain't even serving up no good dope. They ain't even serving up your lid. They serving you some Reggie. They serving you some straight up dirt to smoke. Kennedy Miller, the Lakers are just putting, they putting grass in a dime bag and saying, here, this that fire. That's what they're doing right now with Russell Westbrook shooting 8% from the 3-point line. Kennedy Miller, I'm sorry to bring your mood down, but I got to, baby. I got to. How you feeling? We shouldn't make a big deal over 3 ball games. We shouldn't. But I just feel like Kennedy Miller's about to jump off the roof. So, kid,
I'm 8% in 3 ball games.
Really? 8%. I think he's made one. I think he's made 1 3-point shot. So, Kennedy Miller, I don't want you to jump off the ledge. Well, maybe I do. Treat this like Lean on Me and I'm Principal Clark and you're Sam's. Go on, jump. Do it expeditiously.
You smoke crack, don't you, boy?
You smoke. Look at me, boy. Don't you smoke crack?
Listen, in all honesty, I'm laughing to keep from crying because one thing that you always tell me, Alex Goodwin, when you talk about your team, don't piss on my head and call it rain. Because there's two things that I don't like in this world. It's piss and rain. So it's not like last year, right, where you brought in all these new pieces. Like, we didn't really know what we were going to make. We said they was old. But, you know, we kind of thought they'd make it through. If they had been healthy, you know, who knows. Coming into this year, we recognized that there was a fundamental problem with this roster. We knew it from about March or April of last year. And I get tired of the social media. Everybody just kumbaya. Oh, so sorry, Russell Westbrook. We feel so bad for him. Paul George, shut the hell up.
Shut
because
up.
If you felt so bad for him, you wouldn't have asked for a trade away from him. We remember the party in Oklahoma City.
They act like you forgot. The
party. Yeah, you weren't going nowhere.
Is it,
the next year you asked for a trade. So I don't want to hear that out of you.
Would you rather play with Kawhi or Russ Westbrook? Let's be honest. With Kawhi or Russ.
I know the answer. We know the answer because of what he's doing right now. Now, he ain't always been this bad. He's gotten worse. But you have to take some accountability for this. Like, okay, sure. I said that last year. Frank Vogel getting fired. It wasn't all on Frank Vogel. Russell Westbrook's problems are not all on Russell Westbrook. But we have to understand that he is part of the problem, and if we can get rid of him, we need to get rid of him. You're trying to win a championship here. You're trying to win a championship. You got two of, okay, whatever you want to rank LeBron and AD, but they can't be lower than 20. So two of the top 20 players in the NBA. You got a chance to compete, but you cannot compete if you got Russell Westbrook that's shooting 8% from 3, and then you bring in a guy, Matt Ryan, who you think is just going to be your 3-point sharpshooter because he hit 5 threes in the preseason game? Really? You don't have no wings in a league full of wings. The Clippers got about 10 of them. The Raptors got about 10 of them. And the frustrating thing to me is like, okay, 3 games is not a big sample size. But we clearly see something in that sample size. We see, number one, they got the second-ranked defense in the league. Because two teams that I think, and I'm sure that we can all agree, two teams that I think fully healthy should be in the Western Conference Finals, the Clippers and the Warriors, basically played them well. Like, I mean, the Warriors game, it kind of got out of hand, and then they cut it to, like, 11 or 12. But the Clippers game, they're right there. So the defense is not the problem. But you got the 30th ranked offense. The 30th. Because Rob Pelinka and company, whether that be Kurt Rambis or whoever the hell else is in there, thought that we got Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. And I like Lonnie Walker, too. Don't get me wrong. I like Lonnie Walker. He's played okay. But you can't tell me that I'm going to surround a supporting cast of Patrick Beverley, Troy Brown, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Thomas Bryant around these guys and think, like, okay, yeah, we can really compete for a championship. Like, we've got four guards on the roster. Dennis Schroeder ain't even played. Kendrick Nunn has been I don't know what happened with that damn bone bruise. Okay, he was playing well in the preseason. But this dude, he needs to go back to sitting down, okay? You going 0 for 7, 0 for 8 in games? You ain't bringing us nothing, bro. You're not bringing us anything. Okay, so you got options. I don't understand why they coming out and saying, like, we going to wait till Thanksgiving to make a deal. We want to assess the roster. Thanksgiving, we gonna be under the play-in.
You're under the play-in. You're under the play-in now.
It's gonna be worse.
Hell yeah!
You got too many teams in the West that's good. I said the Warriors, Clippers, the Pelicans are good. Timberwolves, I think they'll be a low-end playoff team.
Nuggets,
obviously gonna be better this year because Dame is healthy. Denver, thank you. And Phoenix.
New Orleans.
What are we really doing? Yeah, I said New Orleans. New Orleans is going to be really good. I like New Orleans. And so my thing is, okay, just understand, we made a mistake. We traded for Russell Westbrook. This set our franchise back. But we have two first-round picks, and we have Russell Westbrook salary. You got options. Everybody's been reporting. The Spurs are trying to tank anyway. I will take Josh Richardson, Doug McDermott, and Jakob Poeltl. I'll take that. I'll go to Indiana. I'll take Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. But I'm saying, like, what are we just sitting around waiting for that's just going to magically happen with Russell Westbrook? And it's not even just the number one, it's the game. It was a bad fit. Especially, it's a bad fit if you don't have shooters around these three guys. Number two, your game has gotten worse, bro. Like, it has. I don't care about they got him standing in the corner and all that. Like, you're a grown-ass man. You about to be 32, 33, whatever the hell you are. You ain't no 20-something-year-old. Like, we get a young – like, we gave Ja Morant and Derrick Rose, you know, when they're young and they can't really shoot that well. Oh, well, they athletic. They going to be good. We gave them a pass. You 33 got years old. How the hell did Joe Freeso get that worse? How did it get worse? How did your three-point shooting get worse?
See – here's what happened. I think what's happened, and Kennedy Miller, you need to take a deep breath. You need to take five, woosaw it out like Mike Lowry and Bad Boys 2. Excuse me, Marcus and Bad Boys 2. My fault. The biggest issue is with the Lakers is this, right? It ain't just Russell Westbrook's fault, right? The issue is the front office. And the issue might be the GM. The GM decided we want Russell Westbrook. We think this is going to work. This is also falls on the GM and Rob Pelinka. Because Rob Pelinka should have told the GM, this is a stupid idea. Let me go do my job and figure this out. The other issue is most teams that have had LeBron James over the past 15 years have operated on this one fundamental principle. We can do all things through LeBron who strengthens us. That if we just send LeBron out here with any old fools, we can make this work. Because twice that you've been able to make it to the finals. But this is like the equivalent of sending him out there with that 07 team. I mean, they got Anthony Davis, but still. They send him out there with a bunch of Daniel Gibsons and Anderson Varejao's. The problem is LeBron James is close to 40 years old. And it is, I think,
exactly.
It is unfair to LeBron James at this point that you're asking LeBron at 38 years old to be to have to be the LeBron he was at 26 and 27 to lift a team. And look, they gonna fight. This gonna be. They gonna have trouble making the play-in this year. This is supposed to be LeBron takes a step back. Anthony Davis ascends. Anthony Davis ain't done that. So now we still got LeBron out here trying to be like he's 25, 26 and play like that. You know what it looks like when an old dude is out there at the club, or when an old dude is wearing clothes that he was wearing in, you know, back 20 years ago. Y'all have seen Jagged Edge's pictures on Instagram, and they look like
they got boo boo on.
Yeah, like they've been shot. Look, they've been stealing out of either their son's closet or closet.
Oh,
they shouldn't be wearing this no more. That's what it kind of looks like with LeBron at this point. He shouldn't still be out here having to do everything that he's having to do.
Look, we can be mad at LeBron for being the GM for the original idea of bringing Russell in, but this man has done everything except literally going on live television and say, if y'all don't get rid of these draft picks and get this man out of town, I might hurt him myself. He's done all but said that. He's made it abundantly clear. Hey, we don't have any laser guys on the team. Blink, blink. We're not a team of shooters. Blink, blink. I mean,
hold on. Wait a second. Come on. Hold on. LeBron don't have nobody that signed the clutch that can shoot the ball? Because, you know, like, matter of fact, Ken, let me ask you this question. How much would you give up to get KCP back? How much do you miss KCP?
Oh, I miss KCP so much. I miss you so much, KCP. I was watching the Denver game against the Warriors, and I said, oh, no, KCP. He's literally doing what we need him to do in the L.A. uniform. He's doing it in Denver. I said, God, even DeAndre Jordan looked like a competent pig. God damn it. What are we doing?
Something in the L.A. water, man.
Oh,
I remember when DeAndre Jordan threw it in the second round and come the next day. He had a putback dunk. Then where has it been? I'm looking at KCP. He's guarding. He's getting over screens. I said, oh, my gosh, KCP. I took you so much for granted. I took you for granted. Now you're gone. Now you're gone. And we traded him for this dude. Oh, my God. Like, literally, that's really the thing. Like, it'd be different. Okay, LeBron wanted the trade to be done. It'd be different, like, you stuck with him. But literally, we're seeing, like, once a week, teams are like, yeah, we would have taken Russ. We just wanted a pick. Or, like, yeah, we were offering that, but the Lakers want to see how the team looks before they make any decisions. Like, what?
Bro, a team a week.
And you see, Aaron's Mavericks, see how good Christian Wood is looking. You could have traded Russ in February for John Wall and Christian Wood. How much better would we have looked? Now you give LeBron two bigs that can semi-space the floor and kind of create their own shot. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. We might actually be a competent basketball team. Even if you're stuck with Russ. So, okay, why don't we go in the offseason and let's prioritize shooting?
Nope.
Not Juan Toscano Anderson, who's a great locker room guy because he's wearing Russ's jersey in practice. I don't give a shit about that. I'm not going to watch any more League Pass games. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch the Lakers anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'll watch it if they on TV, but I'm not putting my iPad in this room to watch games because I watched that Portland game yesterday. Alex, they're up 98-90. Couldn't throw a rock in the ocean. Playing well. Anthony Davis got 6 blocks in the game. They got a lineup of Patrick Beverley, Troy Brown, Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Lonnie Walker. They sub Russ in the game with 3 minutes left. And again, the story of this whole tenure, it wasn't all Russ, but the most glaring stuff was Russ. Because bad shot, Portland goes down and score. Bad shot, Portland goes down and score. Bad shot, Portland goes down and score. They down by 1. 30 seconds left. Russell Westbrook comes down and shoots a mid-range jumper with 20 seconds left on the clock. The Lakers are up by 1.
That was filthy.
This is what pisses me off about it. Then you tell us after the game that you're going for 2-for-1. That's pissing on my head and telling me it's rain. Because I'm a junior college coach. I don't aspire to know everything. I don't know a lot. I'm trying to learn. But I know good and damn well don't nobody take no 2-for-1 when they up by 1 point. I know for sure that does not happen. So tell me, what the hell was going through your head? In the words of Joe Clark, do you smoke crack? Don't you? Don't you smoke crack? Because you're killing my brain cells, Sam. Russ, come on. I expect that from a 21-year-old or an 18-year-old. I really don't expect anybody to shoot that shot. But for a 33-year-old man, you got your own home fans saying, no, don't shoot it. Don't shoot the ball. You hit a home stadium groan every time this man shoots it. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable how bad this has gotten. And this man's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, but he's going to be remembered in this way if they don't get rid of him.
Man, he's playing this way smooth out that Hall of Fame now.
They named him a top 75 player of all time.
Man, too early.
Do y'all remember, I don't know if y'all saw this, it was on Twitter like a couple months ago. Pictures going around a pinky at one of them conventions, right? And I couldn't believe it was actually her. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I feel like it is with
he's
Russ right
so
now.
Poorly.
Oh,
he's
man.
Aged so poorly.
Oh,
that's a very accurate. You know, if somebody asked me, you know, to visually describe the decline of Russell Westbrook, that might be the example I use. Honestly, I understand when he was in Washington, he had a spurt during a season where he looked very, very viable. He looked competent. And he was playing hard. He always plays hard, but he was playing hard and playing competent. So it didn't look so bad. And you know, it's like if LeBron became infatuated with that like 3 to 4 week stretch and said, that's the guy we can win with. Was he wrong? Yes. Did he expect to be this wrong? Nobody expected for them to be this wrong. A lot of people said, no, this is not going to work the way you think it is. It wasn't, this is not going to work. It was, this is not going to work the way you think it is. This has not worked at all.
No.
This has been a total show. A train wreck. A brouhaha, if you will. It is ridiculous.
A brouhaha.
What is going on in Los Angeles? And you mean to tell me, you mean to tell me LeBron has to sit and watch a team, not even across the street, in the same stadium, play so well? That has to be the most, the largest middle finger from life that you could ever receive, only to be topped by them asking Russ what you thought about that dumbass shot. The only reason why they're even asking you about that shot is because you know it was a stupid shot. They know it was a stupid shot. LeBron visibly reacted on camera to how stupid your shot was. And you're going to try to tell us that that's what you were taught? Whoever taught you that needs to retire. Retire now. And never come back. But you know what? That's BS. That's a load of crap. Russ shot that trying to make a point. He was trying to put the game away and say, Russ, put the game away. Well, Russ, the game was already kind of in your hands. I don't know who inspires him to choose the worst time to do the worst things on the basketball court, but I promise you it's choreographed. This is not accident no more. This seems planned and purposeful. Like, oh, y'all don't like me? Oh, I'm going to give you a reason not to like me. Like, my God, this is so sad. I almost feel, you know, it's crazy. I almost do feel bad for him, but I can't because he's the guy doing it. If he was hurt, hobbled, you know, injured, different story. Stop playing that man if he's playing like that and he's hobbled and he's injured. That man is fully healthy.
Rock. I'm out for presidents to represent me. I'm out for presidents to represent me. I'm out for presidents to represent me. Who wanna bet us that we don't touch letters, stack cheddars forever?
Russ gonna get his paper by hook or by crook, and another dude's gonna get his paper by hook or by damn crook is Jimbo Fisher. Boy, because I'm gonna tell you right now, Jimbo Fisher might have the best job in America. For real. Like, I aspire to one day be a finesser the way Jimbo Fisher is a finesser. Okay? I want him to teach me his ways. Okay? Because if Jimbo Fisher continues to go out here and be mediocre, They will give him $85 million for being mediocre. Do you understand? Boy, I would show up every single day trying to find a way to get fired. I'd be parking in the athletic director's parking spot. I'd be cussing out the president, the chancellor, whoever I could. I'd show up to, boy, I'd show up to work in a do-rag and in a tank top. Fire me. I know you want to. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
You won't. You
give
won't.
Me, yeah, you won't do it. Give me $85 million because they ain't going to unass $85 million. Like, it's, boy, how long is it going to take for them to get $85 million together? Because they got to pay like 35 or 40 of it in like the first 60 days. Like, are they going to be passing around that hat like the church, like collection plate at the church for the building fund? Like, is it going to be one of them things? Because my thing is this, why did you give him such a big buyout other than Scott Woodward, who went to LSU, who originally hired Jimbo Fisher at A&M? Who else was really lining up trying to knock down the doors to hire Jimbo Fisher? Not nobody. Not nobody.
Is he not like a glorified recruiter?
Am I missing something? He previously, in previous eras, right, at Florida State and at LSU when he was there with Saban, great quarterback guy. Recruited a number of good quarterbacks. A couple of them went to the league. Some of them didn't pan out in the league. Christian Ponder didn't pan out in the league. EJ Manuel didn't pan out in the league. Jameis Winston is, you know, an NFL starter. Should Jameis have been better? Sure. And you can't say this dude's name because now people look at it, you know, you saying his name is really a pejorative term. But in college, Jamarcus Russell. He recruited Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah.
In college, Jamarcus was a baller.
Yeah. Right?
So.
He yeah.
Yeah, man. So, like, he has that reputation. Like, Jimbo's a great recruiter. He learned clearly from the best. But now they're at a place where 8-4 at Texas A&M ain't good enough for them. Like, I think the worst thing that ever happened to Texas A&M was that 2012 Johnny Manziel year. Because now they can never accept being what they normally have been historically for the last 80 years, which is an 8-4 football program. Now they can't accept that. Like, in A&M people, they like to talk all bad about Texas, 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 right? Texas has been down for the last 10, 11 years. In non-COVID years, A&M has won 10 games one time and went to one New Year's Six bowl game. Texas has wandered in the wilderness like the children of Israel. And Texas has gone to one New Year's Six bowl game and won 10 games one time. Like, and A&M's recruited better, been the SEC, the whole nine yards, and they literally have nothing to show for it other than a nice stadium and a number one recruiting class. But other than that, nothing. Like, they are having problems in year five that you should have in year one or year two. You don't have a quarterback. Your offensive line is bad. And you can't, and everything on offense seems difficult. Like Kennedy Miller, I told my brother this. I told Coach Gloston this when they did the Coach's Corner show a couple weeks back. I'm not a coach, but I know somebody's either not good at coaching or really good at coaching if they make me think I can do it. Jimbo Fisher makes me think I can run that offense because he makes it look so hard that I think I can do it. That man got so many. Have you seen him try to call plays on the sideline? Have you seen all the sheets of paper he has in his hand?
Yeah.
He looks like he's trying to balance a checkbook. He looks like he's filing taxes over there. I don't know what he's actually doing. Right? Like, and they're so bad and they have so much talent. Like, they have the players, but not the scheme. And it's very, very, very obvious. Do you know? They have not scored 24 points in a game against an FBS opponent in nearly a year.
I did not know that. Wow. Sheesh.
Yeah, man. It's that bad. That bad. So, but my thing would be this. They can't fire him, no. His buyout would effectively cost the amount it would take to build a new athletic facility.
Right.
And the thing is, he has no incentive to get better. None. Because he got all the time in the world. He got 8 more years on his contract. He got no incentive to go out here and get a new offensive coordinator. No incentive to give up play calling. No incentive to do anything but sit on his ass and get this paper. No incentive to do anything. And I find it hilarious. I love it because I hate Texas A&M. Hate him with a passion.
Oh, my.
A funny story that was going on at Texas A&M. So they had to suspend 3 of their freshman players today for a locker room incident. And the story is that 3 of their freshmen was smoking weed in the visitors' locker room after that game against South Carolina.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh. Like, what like what in the J.R. Smith is going on here?
Oh, wow. Wow. Do you know how much of a f- you don't have to give to do something like that? You have lost all care in the world. Either that or you thought you was untouchable. One of the two. Either way, you were wrong. I don't understand. Wow.
Aaron, I told you it was going to be good. I told you before the show it was going to be a good one. I told you. Was I lying?
You kind of undersold that. That's great. That is hilarious.
Like, yo, because my question on that is this, right? So, if you had the weed in the locker room, like, I tend to assume, like, on these trips, on these, you know, road games, they don't really let the players out of the hotel, nothing like that. So, I don't assume they have, you know, a street pharmaceutical rep they know in South Carolina, which means they probably brought that on the plane with them. So, basically, you committed a felony. A felony. You can't bring that stuff on an aircraft. I'm pretty sure they flew private, so they didn't have to go through baggage or TSA.
Right.
But in the locker room, buddy, in the locker room.
How bad was the loss?
I mean, they didn't get blown out, but there was never a moment you thought they was going to win that game. Like, this is how you know it's time to go. When you chiefing at your job. Anytime you see people start drinking at their desk or smoking a cigarette at the desk or doing whatever else at the desk, you know it's they ready to quit. They ready to go. Them boys might as well just enter the transfer portal now. Matter of fact, hey, Ken, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
What if one of your players did that?
Smoking in the locker room, I'd probably lose it. But, I mean, especially, like, I don't put it past no JUCO kids anyway. Now you want me to do bag checks now. You done planted the seed in my head now. Make sure that they don't do it. Them dudes, you never know. That'd be some wild stuff.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man. Them boys is living out J.R. Smith's dreams. Totally. Totally living out J.R. Smith's dreams. But we are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast. I got to thank my main man, Kennedy Miller, for hanging out with me once again. So, Ken, if you're feeling, you know, personable, if you're feeling like, you know, if you're feeling talkative, if you're feeling chipper and in a better mood in a couple days or so, where can the folks find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_.
Our main man, Aaron, is no longer, he's taking a break from Twitter. I don't know if this is like a self-imposed break or they told him to take a break, but hey, yo, where can they find? Oh, it's a little bit of both. Yo, Aaron, is this like one of them things where, you know, everybody got a homeboy that had to, you know, take a semester off from school and like, it was like, hold on, did you take a break or did they tell you to take a break? They're like, well, you know, we mutually came to a decision that I needed to
break. Me and Elon Musk was like, you know what, let's revisit this in like a month.
<You know? laughs> Oh man, so Aaron, where can they find you on Instagram, man?
You can find me on Instagram at Aaron the Great, _. That is Aaron the Great, 2 underscores.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Tom, S as in Sarah, M as in mother. Follow the show on Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Again, follow The Game Plan Podcast on Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Follow us on our official YouTube channel. We're going to be doing more live shows as the NFL playoffs come around, college football playoff, whole nine yards. We're going to get that back and running for y'all boys. We had a great time doing it over the summer. We're going to bring that back as the season comes along. But wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller and Aaron Okonafua, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast. We'll see you guys next time.